Hello everyone, welcome back to the Education for Climate Talks. Today it's a true pleasure and an honor to welcome Professor Daniela Tilbury. You are a policy expert, an educator, and I would say a proper change maker, because you have contributed to the initial frameworks on education, on learning for sustainability, and you are still inspiring transition towards sustainability and climate positive futures across the globe. You received numerous prizes, Daniela, awards, honorary degrees over the last 35 years of your career. So it's very difficult, of course, to be exhaustive. But let me say that you are at the moment a member of the board of WWF Australia that brought Earth Hour to the world in 2007. You're also currently a fellow of St. Catharine's College of the University of Cambridge. You are an advisor to the European Commission on Learning for Sustainability, as well as the UK government's focal point at the UN Economic Commission for Europe on matters, of course, of education and environment. And last but not least, you are a member of the Education for Climate community. So welcome, dear member.
Thank you.
Daniela.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you today about my favorite subject, about my passion, which is learning for sustainability. Thank you.
So let's talk about the journey, your journey, sustainable education, because you've dedicated your life to that very subject. So please, the floor is yours.
Well, I'm Gibraltarian. And that means that I was brought up in the shores of the Mediterranean, and I have a Mediterranean way of seeing the world, which I guess is influenced by European but also British perspectives and my experience of living in Australia and Asia for over a decade. So all of that sort of have influenced my career journey, my way of seeing the world. Perhaps the most important part of my formative years in the field were in the 1990s when I read for a PhD in sustainability at the University of Cambridge, and I traveled a lot in Africa, Asia, Latin America in particular, evaluating programs and policies that transition sustainability at a government but also at a community level. So all of that sort of influenced where I am now. But, you know, your questions about, you know, the journey. And I think there are two key moments in all of that that I would really love to share with you that have really sort of shaped quite acutely what I do and how I work with learning for sustainability. The first one was when I was doing an undergraduate degree and I had the opportunity to travel to Deakin, Australia. And in Australia, I met a gentleman called Ian Rowbottom, who at the time was working with environmental issues in schools. And he was particularly concerned with how these could be taught differently in the curriculum. Now remember, we're talking the 1980s here, so it was a while back. But I met him, he invited me to be part of some work he was doing, and through the experience of working with him and colleagues, I sort of realized that the subject was not about content or themes, but about sort of changing the way we frame teaching and learning in schools, in universities, so that the learner is more active in driving the learning a lot more, so that a lot of the thematics that we learn in generic textbooks, in standardized work about sustainability and environment, became meaningful to the learner and became real. Not abstract concepts, but things that they explored in their environment. And I think Australia was very far ahead in the 1980s then. And so many decades later, a lot of that work is now emerging as leading practice in different parts of the world. I was so excited by the idea that sustainability wasn't just a topic, but was a new way of learning, that I did my PhD in that at the University of Cambridge, as I said before, and I started looking at higher education and changes there, because there was a tension at the time, which still remains today, where it is treated as a specialist course for specialist interest teachers rather than something that all learners need to learn. And so that was a key moment for me that sort of opened my eyes and helped me understand that particular context. The second experience, which was really interesting for me, was also an Australian experience where I was taught that transformation and transformative education, which is what learning for sustainability is about, takes time. And that sometimes we rely more on inspiring action and inspiring engagement than on the science. And that there is a mistake when we think that it's the science that's going to necessarily trigger the engagement of young people and of others into making a change. So I was very privileged to be part of the WWF board of directors, and a small team there came up with the idea of Earth Hour. Now, Earth Hour, we're celebrating it on Saturday. This Saturday, there will be, again, the switch off of lights in all the major major cities across the world. And we were part of the crew, the group that came up with the idea in 2007. In fact, we went to Sydney Harbour Bridge for the very first Earth Hour, and we had a situation where we invited the media, the leading political figures, as we launched Earth Hour for the first time, and count down 10, 9, 8, expecting to see a city blackout in Sydney once we got to the Earth Hour moment. But the reality was that the lights did not go out. It just simply did not happen, or at least it did not happen immediately. It took 15 minutes for the Earth Hour to actually take place and for there to be a noticeable difference across the city and the harbour in terms of the blackout. And I learned at that moment that people take time, because people had taken the time to switch off lights in their own way, in their own time, and that it is not automatic that because you provide the resources, the motivation, or the opportunity, that the change or the transformation will happen. We learned that. You know, statistics were gathered on energy consumption that night. We had the images of the key landmarks without lights. We circulated that worldwide. And now Earth Hour is a global movement that is having a significant impact in terms of raising awareness and involving lots of people from different walks of life. And I think parallels can be drawn between these two lessons and the way in which we engage learners to see and visualize the change, not just to understand the science, but to experience and participate as well as know and understand. And that to me is the journey of learning for sustainability personally, and something that I take forward when I engage with this agenda.
Fascinating, thank you. And thank you to focus on that key idea. But of course, we need to integrate the idea of a transition into education, but we need also to promote a transition into education, which is absolutely brilliant. So, I mean, how things have changed along the way, Daniela? What did you learn, and what did we learn collectively?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the issue is that education has changed, but not as much as it needs to confront this planetary crisis that we're facing. I think the core issue is that education is failing our students, our societies, our planet. And I use the word failing because it is a strong word. And I do think that education is not always fit for purpose, because our schools, our colleges, our field centers, our national parks, our museums, right, all those who are involved in learning for sustainability are too focused on teaching knowledge and understanding. And although that's important to build sustainability literacy, there is a misunderstanding sometimes that there is, because there isn't a linear correlation between knowledge and understanding and sustainability competences. And I think that's the core issue. We've come to understand over time that what we should be aiming for is green competences. The idea that our learners are able to do, they're able to engage in change, they have the capability, the motivation to do something about it, not just to know. So Greta's generation is right to be angry, because I think that our young people are feeling very frustrated, very aware, but also very disengaged, because they don't know how to shape our society. They don't know how to influence. Education has not taught them to actually learn to change. It's taught them what the problems are. It's taught them to help understand what the issues are, but not to change society. And the educational experience is therefore sort of falling short of not being able to build their capability, not being able to give them the tools they need to move ahead with this agenda. So what we find is that they understand that there is a rapidly changing landscape to which they're part of, and that they're being subjected, that they're being experiencing a lot of climate change issues, a lot of social disparities, that they're going to be and being subjected to a lot of social, economic, environmental changes in the next decade. And they're concerned about that, but they don't necessarily know how to influence that changing landscape. So that to me is a core issue. And when you look at education, what's happening is that there's a lot of tinkering, there's a lot of experimenting with learning for sustainability, particularly in schools. And there's some wonderful work happening in the fringes, but it's not really core yet. So not everyone has the opportunity to learn. And there's a particular, I think, remark from a gentleman called John Grant from the US, who sort of said, you cannot put a lettuce in the window of a butcher shop and declare that your institution, that your school is now turning vegetarian. You know, so we need to realize that if we are going to be embracing sustainability deeply in education, we need to change where we do education and how we do education for sustainability, and not just the what. I think that's a key issue here.
Thank you for that. So let's finish by having you told us that knowledge, of course, is absolutely key. But I mean, we might focus too much on knowledge and not enough on skills and attitudes, meaning that action competences in particular might be absolutely key. So, and you tell us that we fail the student and that we struggle to implement the change which is needed. How come? So what are the challenges, in your opinion, that are facing the education community in that area of ESD, and of course, how can we overcome these challenges, please?
I think the education system is a bit resistant to the type of changes that learning for sustainability needs. It needs some blurring of the boundaries between subjects so that students can actually connect what is happening in one part of the curriculum with another. It changes the role of the teacher a little bit, or the educator, as he or she needs to connect more closely with the community, the everyday life of the students, and not just the academic or the knowledge part. It challenges the head teachers that need to think not only of what students are learning, but where they're learning, because schools, universities, and colleges need to be sustainable themselves so that students can live and experience sustainability, not just learn it in the classrooms. So the system is seeing that these changes need to happen and is thinking these are big changes, and therefore resisting it. And what we need is more opportunities for young people to come in and help change, to be a voice in the changes that the education system needs to experience. So the challenge is really to recraft, to reimagine a different way of doing education so that I can be more sustainable. And that is hard. And it means moving away from some of the teaching of the doom and gloom scenarios that a lot of the young people are experiencing today, and moving more towards a more imaginative and creative approach to sustainability issues, where young people and others involved in education can feel empowered to make a difference. Because if they don't understand how change happens, if they don't have opportunities to experience how to do change as part of their educational experience, then it's very unlikely that when they finish their education, or when they go and connect what they've learned through their education process into the real world, it's very unlikely that they will make that difference. So it's recrafting, rethinking, and certainly supporting all the stakeholders, from head teachers, educators, to community stakeholders who support learning, to make sure that we can make those changes together.
Thank you for these very inspiring words. So we will stop here, but before, I will ask you something super tricky, Daniela. If you have one sentence or two to give us your views on the international priority, I should say, on green education, what would you say?
I would say it's monitoring and evaluation of what we're doing, because I see monitoring and evaluation as a learning process. You know, learning for sustainability has been around for a good 40 years, and I don't feel that we're learning from the experience. We keep repeating the same mistakes again and again and again. And I think if we had robust monitoring and evaluation, the type of formative evaluation, not just summative, that can inform policy and practice, then we would be learning as we move ahead. We would be integrating those lessons into the next thing that comes along, rather than keep reinventing wheels. And I see that a lot in teacher education, for example, because we don't have those national monitoring or international monitoring systems, it feels quite circular. A lot of the discussions, a lot of the developments or initiatives that are funded in this area, they feel quite circular. They don't feel as if we are learning from the previous experiences and then building on that, and therefore improving provision and experiences for learners in these areas. So for me, monitoring and evaluation has to be a priority, but not for comparison purposes, for learning, monitoring for learning.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you with us, and I hope your message will be heard. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you.